From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our daily devotional for today is taken from John chapter 8, verse 29, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do always those things that please Him. This statement could be uttered only by God's unique and perfect Son. The life of Christ was in absolute harmony with the will of the Father. Twice the Gospels record that the Father spoke directly from heaven, stating, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In Matthew 3:17, the Father was well pleased with His Son's obedience. This particular commendation came after His baptism, to which our Lord submitted in order to fulfill all righteousness. As our Saviour, Christ kept every commandment in our place. In doing so, He earned a perfect righteousness for us and splendidly pleased our Heavenly Father. Christians are called to be like Christ and therefore to be doers of the word and not hearers only, as James 1:22 puts it. While saints will never achieve perfection in this life, the true sons of God will yearn to please their Heavenly Father in all they do. At Christ's transfiguration, recorded Matthew 17, verse 5, the Father spoke of His good pleasure in His Son's speech. The Father commanded the disciples, Hear ye Him. Christ's speech, just as His life, was ever directing men toward the Father. The Son came into the world to reveal the Father. Every sermon and every conversation revealed the only true God. The Christian, too, is to show forth his Heavenly Father in word as well as in deed. It's an honor when your speech and life betray, to use the word of Matthew 26:73, betray that you are a child of God. What horrible regrets we will have at the close of life's journey if we don't use our days of opportunity to please the God of our salvation. Therefore, as willing disciples of Christ, let's begin today, by the grace of God and faith in the gospel, to do those things which will delight our Father who is in heaven. And the thought for today comes from an ancient Roman Stoic of all people, a man by the name of Seneca. What he said was true, however. We are born subjects, and to obey God is perfect liberty.
Teach me thy will. Thou my lips to sing my
It's good to have you with us today, and I hope that you've been enjoying the program. I hope also that you'll take advantage of the various resources that we try to make available to you here in Let the Bible Speak. They're yours free of charge if you simply let us know that you'd like to have them. Let me highlight four of them. First, for all who need help regarding the way of salvation and the first steps of the Christian life, we have my booklet, A New Beginning. Second, for those who wish to know more about the beliefs and stand of the Free Presbyterian Church, we have the booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Then we have our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, and finally, our monthly Let the Bible Speak tape or CD, a sort of a devotional and instructional magazine on tape or compact disc. Now here's something special. For some time, we have been studying the Law and the Ten Commandments here on Let the Bible Speak, and we're approaching the end of that series. As we do so, we're offering the book that I wrote as a result of the original messages. It's titled Chariots of God, and it's a 300-page in-depth study of the subject. If you've enjoyed the radio messages, then I'm sure you'll enjoy the book as well. While our stocks last, we're offering this book, Chariots of God, A Study of the Law of God, a book that retails for $15, we're offering it free of charge to those of you who request it. Now, if you'd like to receive any or all of these resources, you should write to us or call. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number for those who wish to call us is 866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
In looking at the Eighth Commandment, we learn that it establishes the Bible's teaching on property rights and personal rights, two vital principles that are of far-reaching importance for the conduct both of national and personal affairs. With that in mind, now let's turn to God's Word.
Owe no man anything but to love one another. Romans 12:17 sums it all up very beautifully. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now these are scriptures that all begin to expound on the simple commandment, thou shalt not steal. And as we consider them, we will be able to lay bare some of the principles upon which the commandment is based. Let me mention four of them. First principle is the recognition of property rights. This is a commandment that recognizes that what a man justly possesses is his by divine right. The Bible does not teach a universal community of resources, goods, and property. That communistic doctrine that has found so much favor in so many church circles certainly does not have the support of God's Word. You turn to Scripture, you discover Abraham purchased ground to be his own forever. A burying ground in a strange land. He purchased it. It became his forever. When Israel were led into the promised land, the Lord allotted to each tribe its own particular property. And to each man and each family in each tribe, the Lord again allotted his own particular property. In the New Testament, we have that experiment in the Jerusalem church at pooling all their resources. This was a very pure form of what you may loosely call communism, not in its ideological form, but simply a band of Christians whose lives were in danger and who were so given to serve Christ that they pooled all their resources willingly, without coercion, so that each would be looked after to the fullest extent. I can't say that the experiment lasted very long, or even that in the short term it was altogether successful. But one can only admire the kind of spirit that there was. We have seen it at other times in the history of the Christian church, when groups of God's people got together and they pooled their resources for the common good. The Bible has absolutely nothing to say in condemnation of that attitude. But even at that time, you'll remember that Ananias and Sapphira decided that they would be liars and hypocrites and thieves. They wanted to extract from the common pool while only appearing to put their goods into it. They put a little in and they withheld as much as they could. The Lord judged them for that. But Peter said to Ananias in chapter 5, verse 4 of the book of Acts, why is it, that is the price of your property, why is it remained? Was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. While this property was yours, didn't you have complete control of it? When you sold it, wasn't the money yours? We didn't ask you for it. We didn't force it from you. You're not being judged because you didn't join the communal pool. You're being judged because you were a liar against God and a thief of the work and house of God. That's why you're being judged. Clearly from Peter's words, a man has the right to acquire and use and dispose of his personal property as he wills, so long as he does so justly. And all Marx's denials of this not only run counter to the scriptures, but they're destructive of all human progress and human happiness. Now that's all very clear. But let me make this equally clear, that if anybody thinks that the Word of God endorses untrammeled capitalism, he should think again. I have heard preachers get up and preach the most outlandish nonsense, the most blasphemous rubbish in support of a capitalistic system that is willing to crush everything and everybody into the dust to make money for big business. And the Bible definitely does not support it. Understand this. The Bible forbade the permanent transfer of land in Israel from one tribe to another. And just because a poor man had to sell his property, God ensured that that would not open the door for rich men to add acre upon acre to their own holding. It could only be leased until the day and year of Jubilee. I don't want to get off on a sideline, but I think that there's an awful lot of sorrow, a lot of trouble for a lot of hard working people in the farm holdings of the Western world that would have been avoided if the law of God had been a little more carefully adhered to and big business had not been permitted to gobble up the lifetime workings and the lifetime of earnings and property of decent people. But that's a sideline that I'm not getting into. The law of God also forbade an employer to refuse an advance of wages to a needy employee. And not only so, but it forbade him to take any interest from that employee on the advance. And if that were not strong enough, it forbade him to hold the pledge of that employee if that pledge, like his garment, were necessary to his personal life and comfort. It forbade him even to hold it overnight. So the Lord has no time for untrammeled capitalism. The Lord constantly affirms in Scripture that while there are property rights, the earth is the Lord's. And what we own not as absolute owners, but as stewards. And we are responsible to God for every possession we have. Let's understand that. We are responsible to God for every possession we have and for how we employ the goods and the resources that He has entrusted to us. There are many who try to make people feel so guilty at their success that they owe it to society or they owe it to the poor to do this or do that. I would rather say that God's people should recognize what we have from God. It's entrusted to me as a steward of the Lord. I'm not to be a prodigal. I'm not to be a waster of what God has given. I can enjoy what God has given. That is part of the right of ownership. But I own it as a steward, and I use it as a steward, who one day is going to have to render up his stewardship and give account for how he has employed the resources that God placed at his disposal. The second thing that you have here is a great principle upon which the command is based, is not only the recognition of property rights, but the recognition of personal rights. The eighth commandment outlaws all oppression, and it outlaws all extortion. Let me give you some scriptures that make that very clear. In expounding the law, in Exodus 22, verse 21, Moses says, "Thou shalt neither vex a stranger, nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." In Leviticus 25, verse 14, "If thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. Deuteronomy 24 verse 14 says, thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren, or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. That's a very plain statement. You shall not oppress a hired servant. You'll not oppress a man who's poor and needy, whether he's of your own people or whether he's just an indigent stranger. Now what we get into here is the whole realm of what now comes under the title of human rights. Let me make some very basic statements. Human rights are not the gift of government. Oh, it is the government's duty to protect them, because it is the government's duty as much as in it lies to conform to the law of God. But human rights are not in a government's gift. It has not the right to give or take them away. Secondly, and this is something that needs to be thundered in our fundamental churches, human rights are not the discovery of modern leftists and liberals and others who are fellow travelers of the communists. We sometimes think that human rights is the agenda of the extreme left wing. Well, if it is, of course, it is only a masquerade. Because there is nothing more destructive to human rights or human freedom than the totalitarianism of the so-called proletariat. There is nothing more destructive to rights than the tyranny of communism. But if this has become the leftist agenda, it is only because, in our folly, the evangelical churches have allowed the Christian charter to be stolen from under our noses and refabricated, turned out as a work of the devil. Let's understand this. When you turn to the Word of God, there is no greater enemy to oppression and extortion of the poor and the needy than the Word of God. The Creator is the one who has given us our rights. And surely around the 4th of July, every American should understand that the inalienable rights that belong to us because we are human belong to us as the gift of God. And no government and no man has the right to touch them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.